We are going to skip Garrison Keillor's Writer's Almanac so we can set up our Events Day segment. We'll be talking about the UCC shootings this week, and let's talk about the politics surrounding gun violence, because obviously those discussions began pretty much before the smoke cleared at Umpqua Community College in Roseburg last Thursday. Federal officials say the weapons used in the shooting were purchased legally, and that's raising questions about what more could be done to prevent mass killings. Here's Conrad Wilson from Oregon Public Broadcasting.
Law enforcement officials say the weapons used by Chris Harper Mercer in last week's shooting at Umpqua Community College were lawfully purchased.
They were all purchased legally, yes.
Salinas Nunez is the assistant special agent in charge for the Seattle Field Division of the ATF. She told reporters at a press conference in Roseburg last week that more than a dozen guns were found at the community college and the shooter's apartment.
Seven have been purchased by the shooter or a family member, all within the last 3 years.
Nunez says all the weapons can be traced back to a federal firearms dealer. Oregon law requires anyone who wants to purchase a firearm to pass a background check performed by the Oregon State Police. Officers check for felons, domestic abusers, and those who have been deemed mentally ill by the courts. In May, Governor Kate Brown signed the Oregon Firearms Safety Act. The legislation expanded background checks from firearm dealers to include person-to-person sales. At the bill signing ceremony, Governor Brown called the law an important step towards keeping guns out of the hands of criminals.
Oregon State Police data on gun transactions indicates that in the month of March alone, 193 people tried to buy guns in the state who were prohibited by law from having them, most of them convicted felons.
That same data showed more than 240,000 background checks for gun transactions since September of last year. Fewer than 1% of those were denied and ended up being investigated. OSP did not return requests for comment. What those numbers mean is the subject of debate. Ron Louie is the former chief of police for the city of Hillsboro and now teaches criminal justice at Portland State University.
And the other 99%, are there people within that pool that perhaps should not own a gun but somehow have legally complied with the rules, so to speak? That's speculation, and I just don't know.
Would Oregon's new law have prevented the shooter from purchasing guns in the state?
I don't believe so.
Louie's in the camp that says more needs to be done to prevent guns from ending up in the hands of those wishing to do harm. But he's not in favor of expanding background checks to include things such as checking someone's social media profile.
The best way to do it is a loved one or a concerned person comes forward to identify somebody that may be potential and look at how much we should do about that, understanding we still have a constitution and our blessed civil liberties.
But others argue there are too many laws regulating guns and say more won't help.
We pass laws because it makes somebody feel good, not because it makes any sense.
Kevin Sterrett is the director of the Oregon Firearms Federation, a self-described Second Amendment advocacy organization.
They don't work. We have a lot of gun laws. We have laws that are contradictory. We have laws that literally make no sense, laughably make no sense.
Since the mass shooting in Roseburg, concerns about potential violent attacks have disrupted classes at schools across Oregon. On Friday, Southwest Oregon Community College and schools in the Cloquel School District closed due to a reported threat. It was later discounted by law enforcement. And just yesterday, police evacuated Rogue Community College in Grants Pass due to a possible bomb threat. I'm Conrad Wilson in Portland.
And we can add to that that Southern Oregon University is closed today for the very same reason, some threat perceived by security officers that required the shutdown of campus just for the day today. Let me add to what we're talking about, the opinion expressed by the Douglas County Sheriff at a news conference last Friday, where he repeated his vow about the Roseburg shooter who killed 9 people on Thursday.
You will not hear anyone from this law enforcement operation use his name. I continue to believe that those media and community members who publicize his name will only glorify his horrific actions. And eventually, this will only serve to inspire future shooters.
So with that, we start our Events Day segment, your chance to vent your spleen politely, and it's going to be hard, I understand, and topics on the news. So this week we're talking about the Umpqua shooting aftermath and public information. 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email, or correspond with us on our Facebook page. Let's start with the sheriff's point first, that neither he nor anybody who worked for him would say the name of the shooter, Chris Harper Mercer, so as not to glorify his actions. As far as inspiring future shooters, we gained some context on that when later reports revealed that Harper Mercer wrote a blog post about the man who killed two Virginia journalists himself. Harper Mercer wrote, "Seems like the more people you kill, the more you're in the limelight. Does this kind of incident call for a step like the sheriff suggests, omitting the name of the shooter? Would that make a difference?" And in the same vein, news organizations never used to cover bomb threats for fear of inspiring copycats. But that was back in the day when a bomb threat meant 15 minutes of searching, then back to normal. As we learned on Monday, a bomb threat can close all three campuses of a community college, in this case Rogue, for an entire day. It closed down Southern Oregon University all day today. Your thoughts, please. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org or comment on Facebook. And this is obviously the aside to the main issue before us on this Wednesday. How do we move forward with real intention to stop or at least curtail mass shootings? Greater restrictions on guns? Greater restrictions on people with mental problems? Greater restrictions on letting people with mental issues have guns? We're clearly stuck because this keeps happening. How do we get unstuck? This is the subject of Vents Day. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org, or on Facebook. Back with your comments in 1 minute. It's 8:36, and you're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. This is our Vents Day segment, your chance to vent your spleen ever so politely, please, on topics in the news. And this week's topics are the Umpqua Community College shooting and where we go from here, topic one. Topic two, about the use of information from such incidents, like the sheriff talked about in Douglas County, withholding the name of the shooter because he didn't want to glorify him. Is there any particular edge gained for us as a society in doing that? Let's get your thoughts at 800-838-3760 by phone around the listening area. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. We are monitoring our Facebook page as well. Look for the line that says Vents Day 107, comments here, and place your comments there. Let's go first to Thomas in Klamath Falls. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
People that are concerned about the slaughter in Roseburg should understand, I think, that the entirety of American culture is massively toxic from top to bottom. They would have an understanding of that if they had ever read Thoreau, Emerson, William Blake, Matthew Arnold, Paul Goodman, and a few others, and if they were currently following the writings and lectures of Noam Chomsky, C-H-O-M-S-K-Y, and James Howard Kunstler, K-U-N-S-T-L-E-R. Since people don't follow any of these people, they are sort of drifting in a fog, and I think they're going to have to accept the fact that this kind of slaughter is going to have to join the kind of slaughter that we have on our highways these days, which is also an extravagant scandal, all of it preventable, most of it preventable. Anyway, thousands and thousands of people killed, and nobody cares, and that's just how we're going to have to deal with this kind of slaughter, even though it does involve maniacs and guns and little kids.
Grim indeed. Thank you for that, Thomas. Appreciate it. Chad in Roseburg, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Yeah, hi, Jeffrey. I just wanted to make a comment. I don't know about, saying the perpetrator's name. You can just go on any website and look it up, so I don't know if that's really going to do a lot of good. But one thing I wanted to touch on is a Cornell University study that just came out by, or an opinion, excuse me, by a law professor there that I guess 92% of all mass shootings are occurring in gun-free zones since 2009. So, you know, that's something that it's pretty scary. My wife's a teacher, and, you know, it's just an awful thing to think that you got to worry about when you send your kid to school, are they safe? And to have that, to have a law professor come out from Cornell and state the those statistics, 92% of mass shootings in gun-free zones since 2009, you know, it's just downright scary.
And yet I have seen numbers almost exactly the opposite of that.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I mean, and I, another thing, too, I don't hear a lot of talk about mental health. You know, I just think that that's a huge issue. And then I also wonder about some of the disconnect with our digital age. I wonder how much that plays into it. But anyway, just my thoughts.
All right, glad to have them. Thanks for that, Chad. Appreciate it. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. It's our first chance to have a collective vent since the Umpqua Community College shootings last Thursday. Your thoughts on where we go from here and the other part of it, the information flow, whether it helps anything to not name the shooter or not give details about the incident itself, to not encourage copycats, for example. What are your thoughts on that? 800-838-3760 by phone anywhere in the listening area, by email jx@jeffnet.org, or register your comments on our Facebook page. Let's go to Jeff in Roseburg. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hello. Well, there's lots of things to say, but the first caller, you know, Roseburg is a nice, quiet town where civilized, and, you know, this guy, I don't think, grew up here. On having the one of the last shooters was on Fox News, and I like Fox, but for several minutes while the people were talking, they had that guy's, bad guy's face on TV for, you know, international Fox TV. So the next guy for sure is going to want that much attention. So I do think it helps to, you know, not show their face, not say their name, and just call them a murderer and not a shooter. Mm-hmm. And also I'm very glad that he died right there.
Do we gain anything by learning a little more about him, though, and his life circumstances? Him
well,
or
we,
her?
Well, we can. Yeah, we can. There's a lot to learn about this kid now. You know that will point some things out.
Mm-hmm.
You know there is, and maybe that stuff will come out. But the notoriety and the picture on TV for minutes at a time. I mean, I had to keep looking away from the TV. So I didn't have to look at his ugly face, you know.
Is this one of these things?
And on this guy now, they're not doing that. They mm-hmm. did learn something, finally. On this guy, they're not doing that. The other thing I wanted to say, your first guy talking, these were 30 adult people in that room. And he was having them stand up and be shot one at a time. And at some point, they had to rush him and take him down, you know, and they could have, but they were, and I understand that they were panicked and in fear and, you know, taken off guard and everything, but you have to mentally prepare yourself that you are going to fight.
I'd be curious to take part in some of that ALICE training myself, just to see some of the components of it.
It would be harder if it was little kids,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But these were adults.
They were indeed. Jeff, thanks for your thoughts. Very good to have you here on Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We are collecting your thoughts and opinions, your ventings, as it were, about the Roseburg shooting, because it's the first time we've had a chance to have a full Vents Day since that time. Please give us your thoughts, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org, or make your comments on our Facebook page. Here's Seth in Central Point. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure.
I feel really sorry, too, not just for the students at Roseburg, but, you know, for it at all community college. I don't think that anyone just going to have an education should have to worry about whether or not they're coming home that day. But I do believe in using this knowledge to help prevent future incidents. You know, for instance, there's been some news on his blog post, on his Facebook or MySpace profile.
Mm-hmm.
Things that could have been little red flags. I remember in a journalism class I took in Marin County Community College, a mass media. We met the father of Amber before the Amber Alert started, and how that really used people's communication skills to kind of be little sentries of knowledge and red flags to alert, kind of like a good neighbor, or not good neighbor, but a neighborhood watch, but globally, wherever there is an incident.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in using data like this, you know, a lot of people are worried about, you know, the rights of privacy, but there's a way you can do it without being invasive of just using knowledge, finding little phrases that could kind of tip you off whether or not you want this person to kind of have maybe a support group call them, as you would for somebody that has an issue with drinking or gambling, if it's someone that needs counseling. I think that should be open to anyone who wants to suggest that service for that person discreetly and anonymously.
All right. Interesting point, Seth. You know, it'd be nice to think that the support systems were there, though. And one of the issues that came up in the news this week was the tattered state of affairs with mental health care in Douglas County. The county, strapped as it is by lack of O&C funds, timber funds over the years, has had to trim its budget and trim its budget and trim its budget. And some mental health services are not even offered directly from the county anymore. So that's one of the issues we deal with. But the other point that Seth was making, the idea of, you know, you see something, say something, that obviously happens, but now we've got a situation, for example, where we've had Southwestern Oregon Community College shut down for a day last Friday. We had Rogue Community College shut down all day on Monday. We have Southern Oregon University closed all day today because of concerns about threats. How do you know the threats are credible? How can you process them in time to know that you're making the right decision? Because right now the default position seems to be to disrupt the education for several thousand people at one time. Let's get your thoughts on this Vents Day, 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. And you can comment on our Facebook page as well, not just about the shootings themselves and what we do from here, but also the issue of information. And should we be posting the name of the speaker, the shooter, rather? Email here via Facebook, actually, from Debbie in Talent. She says, not speaking a shooter's name is silly at best. If we're ever going to end the insanity of armed mass murderers, we have to have all known information. Understanding is key to identifying before, not after, shootings. Let's go to Steve and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Howdy. You cannot protect yourself from crazies. And yeah, unless you're willing to put humongous fences around with TSA type screening at the entrance, and if you have dorms, treat the dorm rooms like prison cells, subject to search for contraband at any time, you're just not going to protect yourself from crazies. And you've got to figure out, you know, what you're willing to sacrifice. Well, Ben Franklin said something about those who would sacrifice security for the sake of, or sacrifice freedom for the sake of security, deserve neither. And you just got to figure out, you know, what you're willing to live with and, you know, what risks you're willing to take. And like I said, first thing out of my mouth, you cannot protect yourself from crazy.
All right. Thanks for that, Steve. Appreciate it. Misha in Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Yeah, good morning to you. The Dennis Kucinich, as you're probably aware, when he ran for president, the one thing that he wanted was the Department of Peace. Seemed like if we had that, the one thing is we'd be able to maybe situations like happened, like in Chula Vista before, where a guy went berserk, and it would seem like we could deal with situations maybe before to help out if people that are troubled. The other thing is that Scotland is people are probably aware, when they had that school, when they had people came in there, the Great Britain pretty much did away with guns. There was, guns are like, I think a lot of the thing is that the boys grew up in our culture thinking that a lot of times that the men are not going to be nurturing to one another. But if we had a Department of Peace, maybe we could change that around The other thing is not just background checks, but this guy in Washington State was a public defender. He liked a woman from Eugene, was enamored with her, and he wound up doing her in. And I think doing it with guns would be good because there was a husband and wife, and they went shopping and somewhere in Oregon, and they came back and thought there was a prowler, but they wound up like killing their own son by mistake. So, because they were in the closet. So I think it would be good to get rid of guns here.
All right.
Because to think more about loving people rather than having guns around it can be hurtful, because there are so many situations and they keep repeating themselves.
All right. Thanks for that. Appreciate it, Misha. Let's go to Kyle in Arcata. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yeah, hi, good morning. This terrible incident would happened. I'm not surprised that everyone has been talking about mental health issues and gun rights and this and that, but I am surprised that no one has brought up, you know, our very militaristic culture that we have in the United States mixed with, the vast access that there is to weapons. I mean, if you look at the types of atrocities that have taken place in the Middle East by U.S. forces and the like, I mean, it doesn't even pale in comparison to this type of activity that happened here. And I'm not saying that this is something good or anything. I'm just explaining to people that, you know, look, when people are being murdered all over the world and you have all these types of different issues, this terrorist who attacked everybody, and I'm surprised people don't call him a terrorist, by the way. You know, if he was Muslim, they probably would call him a terrorist. But the fact is that this guy, you know, he had all kinds of issues going on in his life. He was upset about multiple different things. And you have all kinds of disgruntled people like that within society. And then they have other mental issues, and then they have access to weapons. And, you know, this is just what's going to happen. Like the gentleman who spoke before, you can't protect yourself from crazies. And, you know, we're going to have to deal with this issue as a society. America needs to look at itself, needs to look at its soul, needs to look at its young generation and really decide some proper solutions here.
All right, Kyle.
And I thank you guys for having this radio show going today.
All right, take care. Thanks for calling. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. We're venting on what to do in the aftermath of the Umpqua Community College shootings. And the other topic, of course, is information about that shooting, like the shooter's name. A lot of pressure to not say the shooter's name. We have an email here from Beppy in, doesn't say where, but she says, the only way to begin to address this kind of thing going on, the mass shooting, the multiple gun deaths, is to begin to reduce the number of guns too easily available to anyone in our country. So thank you for that, Beppy. Let's go on to Michael in Mendocino. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yes, good morning. I disagree with people who automatically categorize shooters and people that fit into that category as crazies. What if they're not crazy? What if they're perfectly sane? And while I disagree with them, I think that the information part that you're expounding should be expanded. And a one-hour radio program is not going to be enough to put this puppy to rest. So I'm thinking that it would be up to the Jefferson Exchange to extend this conversation at least once a week, maybe twice a month, to gather information and then return back to the radio station and comment about it. And I'd like to hear your comment on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that, Michael. Well, there is the issue of resources. There is the issue of all the other things we need to cover. But I have to admit, at this very moment in time, this certainly seems like the most important thing we have to cover. One of the reasons we're talking about it today, it's to give us, you know, one of the reasons this is called the exchange is we get a chance to exchange ideas. And so we are seeking your thoughts. 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email. Let's go to Dennis in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi. Well, your question was, what can we do to stop this?
Now, where do we go from here?
Well, what we do is we tell people that if they come to our school to shoot somebody, we're going to kill them dead so fast that they won't even know what happened to them. And we need to make our schools safe. If we would do a neighborhood watch where I live. We had a crime here in our neighborhood, and we all got together, and we would go out and once a week take our turns, and we would watch the neighborhood and make sure that there was not anybody nefariously doing things or strangers in our neighborhood. And the theft we had went from pretty bad to zero, and we haven't had any since. and that's been for like 5 or 6 years. And if you put up a sign at a school and say, come on in with your gun and shoot as many of us as you can, because we're not going to have any way of protecting ourselves. Cowards like this last person who did this, are they just see that as advertisement, and that's where they're going to go. It's not brain science. I mean, it's easy to understand. They're going to go where they can be successful. They're losers in life, and they want to have a success. They don't even care if they don't get to know about it. They just want to have the success. And to them, success is the more people you kill, the more powerful and great you are. And so we got to take that away from them. And as soon as we start protecting ourselves and allow people to carry guns that and have people that carry guns get training for it so that they can help prevent this sort of thing, the better off we'll be.
All right, training, that's a key thing. Thanks for that, Dennis. Appreciate it. Carolyn McKinleyville, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. Carol?
Yes?
Go ahead.
Yes, I don't understand why we're not addressing the issue that the children in our schools need to be protected properly, as in as soon as anybody comes on campus, there should be security in the parking lots. There should be metal detectors to identify who's carrying weapons and taking care of it properly at the source, having classrooms that are properly and able to be barricaded completely. I don't see why we don't address the problem that it's happening. It's going to keep happening. We can't identify who's going to become the shooter or why. So let's just take care of the fact that we need our children to have a safe environment with people there with guns that can take care of the bad guys.
Okay, greater security. Carol, thank you so much for that. Eli in Medford, welcome to the Exchange.
Yeah, you have two different solutions here. One is the lady who just spoke, which is like, let's create a prison society where there's guards everywhere and metal detectors everywhere, which goes back to the quote about Benjamin Franklin saying, if you give up freedom for security, you're going to end up with neither. Mm-hmm. And the other is to empower law-abiding citizens to just carry guns like the Second Amendment guarantees us, because if you limit guns to law-abiding citizens, you're not going to get rid of the criminals who have guns, because they're already criminals. Laws against guns aren't going to stop criminals from having guns because they don't care about the law. So someone last week brought up, what about the Second Amendment's mention of militia? And that's the point. The militia is not the National Guard. It's not the police. It was the citizenry. The citizenry was expected to be armed and well-trained. And if
but
we
trained
had,
together, correct?
Yes. So that's something the sheriff departments could do. They could organize trainings for citizens so we could have the teachers armed. And it's not just schools. It could be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
All citizens, male and female, should be trained, armed, because then any person walking in to do damage or kill people would be faced by, a couple dozen
a lot of people
law-abiding
with weapons.
Citizens.
All right, Eli, I'm going to move on to the next person. Thank you for your thoughts. David in Ashland, do you get the final thought?
Well, I just want to say that I think this is symbolic of just our violent and aggressive attitude as a country. You know, we went and bombed a hospital in Kunduz and killed lots of nurses and doctors and women and children. And then we complain that we have violent people in Roseburg shooting our own women and children. And I think that this is, until we start to address the way this country resolves its own conflicts, we're going to just have our people be symbols of our own national policy.
All right, David, thank you. I want to thank everybody who called in. We got a lot of eloquent emails. I want to package those up and put them on Facebook so you can read them all. And thanks for taking part in Vince Day on the Jefferson Exchange.